Welcome to Prague Will Find a Way, our podcast all about progressive rock. I'm Jay Valade.
I'm Jonathan Block.
Today we're doing a deep dive on John and Vangelis. For those of you who don't know, John Anderson. John is John Anderson, the lead singer of Yes.
And Vangelis is Vangelis.
He's that guy, that one name guy.
Yes.
Vangelis, popularized by his 1981 soundtrack to Chariots of Fire, which became a giant hit for him, and the Blade Runner soundtrack, as well as, you know, a whole career of electronic music. He's one of the pioneers. So,
yes. But we do have to apologize because this is almost, if you like discographies and releases and stuff, you're going to love this episode.
But if you don't,
Jay has...
Well, this is more of a history.
Right, but Jay has physical copies and Japanese, the whole nine yards. So unfortunately, you won't see those on the podcast itself, but head over to YouTube and watch the video.
You can see
all the cool stuff Jay's got here.
Anyway. So,
and vinyl.
And
got
the
vinyl.
So we've
back.
Got our vinyl on top.
Yeah.
And then I've got other things over here. But so we were, John and I were talking about this, that we should just say the general story. I mean, and a lot of it is on YouTube. I think one of the best things you could do is look up the YouTube video of John Anderson live by himself singing I'll Find My Way Home, which is a John Vangelis song, where he does depending on which one you watch, he does a little How I Met Vangelis story, which is hysterical because, you know, you've got John and John's this, you know, diminutive Englishman going up to this kind of big burly Greek guy, and his voiceovers on on their conversations are kind of funny. But apparently John was a fan of Vangelis's music and looked him up when he was in London or Paris, one of the two, and went over to his house and his studio, and they became friends, and Vangelis invited him to sing on his album Heaven and Hell, which came out in, I don't know, 1974 or 1975,
but we do not have that.
I don't. Yeah, we don't have it up here. But
you do own the vinyl and the CD.
So, John appears on one track called "So Long Ago, So Clear," which
you had to listen to the entire album.
Right. There's no banding.
Well,
it's like side two.
It's like a tubular bells. Was it side two or the end of side one?
It's the end of the album. So
right.
End of
yes.
side two.
Yes.
So
it's the soon of Vangelis.
Yes. So it's like it's Heaven and Hell, and it's, you know, Vangelis' interpretation of that. And at the end of the album is the John Anderson contribution
emerging from the Dante's inferno. John Anderson,
beautiful
rises
song.
Above.
So it was like kind of the first moment that you would hear a John and Vangelis track, but it's all, of course, credited to Vangelis with John Anderson as a
right
guest.
but also this is, there's nothing like that that had happened at that time.
Right.
There
was kind of the blueprint of John.
Well,
Vangelis.
Well, yes, but also, you know, other electronic bands that were popular. You know, John Anderson or any Prague other people were not singing on top of, you know, Tangerine Dream and things like this. This was
right.
Pretty, yet they did later, and John Anderson worked with them as well. And Kitaro, right?
Yes.
Kitaro.
Yeah.
So,
And Mike Oldfield.
But the kind of juxtaposition of the full electronics with the organic voice is something that people taken for granted. You know, you think of like Dead Can Dance and
This was kind of the beginning.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying
absolutely.
That people were not at that point yet adding the voice academic wise, like, you know, in that kind of electronic music, but not this kind. That's why I think it was like whoa. And after you would listen, it's a dense album, even though you have to flip it over, but it was kind of like whoa, it's cool, very cool.
So prior to that, Vangelis was invited by John to join Yes when Rick Wakeman had left after Tales from Topographic Oceans, and he came and rehearsed with them for a couple weeks, apparently. And
we've never heard
one note,
not even on YouTube.
Nope. So
Maybe it'll come from the same person who put out the drama stuff.
John Anderson famously said, you know, Vangelis was kind of a force of nature. He kind of would come in and he could play the drums and drums. And then he would play this and play that. And then he said, Steve Howe pulled out his electric guitar. He goes, you know, Steve, electric guitar is not the proper instrument.
That was that.
He goes, Vangelis, you're supposed to be making friends here. So that didn't work out. However, their friendship remained, and they did this song on this one album. Subsequent to that, he put out other albums, and John Anderson appeared not singing but playing the harp on Opera Sauvage, I think.
Yeah.
And so that was a nice little moment for them. And then he...
See
you later.
See you later, yeah.
See you later, which I... Time-wise, I'm not quite sure
80,
how that worked.
81,
I know, but...
80, 80.
So they put out an album together. Earlier? It might have come out after Short Stories.
Okay.
I don't know what came out first. Okay. So the first real John Evangelis album was Short Stories. And basically what they would do is John... And Vangelis would get together in the studio. Vangelis would just start playing, and John Anderson would just start singing, which I think is kind of an interesting thing. And then after they did that, Vangelis would edit stuff down, and then John would go back and re-sing it with lyrics, because he's just kind of probably making stuff up.
Vocalizing melodies. Yeah.
And then that was the album, right? Wow. 100%. Different from the way Yes works. Yes, you know, famously is like Chris Squire going over every single bass note for hours and hours to determine which one is the right fit for the song. Both approaches are valid, but I think this was a different thing for John Anderson to be able to just go there and freely just sing the songs and have Vangelis turn it into... the magic that it turned into.
He could just be John Anderson on steroids.
Right. So what they do is they release this album called Short Stories, and it is, you know, 8 or 9 songs. They put it out in England in 1979. They have a single called I Hear You Now, which was kind of a minor hit for them at the time, backed with Thunder, I believe.
Okay.
Which is on the album. Yeah. So they were not a big, they had a bunch of extra stuff
right.
band.
The album's all the way over there.
So they, you know, I got this because of the picture sleeve, but it's basically the same image that's on the album.
Right.
But, you know, I'm a collector. So they released this. This comes out. John is still in Yes at this point. But the writing is on the wall. I think this is
this is the time
that John Anderson is just like, I go and I make an album with Vangelis in like 4 days, and then I go back with Yes, and we're quibbling over X,
Y,
and Z.
So this is before Song of Seven.
This is before Song of Seven and before Drama came out, but after Tormata.
All right. Do you have it here? Or I want to see the song list. I can't. Remember some of the songs.
You can't read it?
Not Japanese. Sorry.
All right. So the song list is Curious Electric, which is really kind of a Vangelis-y moment, and John Anderson almost talking on top of it.
Right.
Then I Hear
Each
You Now.
Each and Every Day Bird
comes
song.
Out. Bird Song, I Hear You Now, and The Road.
Right.
There's some acoustic guitar on The Road, which is not played by Vangelis. Somebody else plays it, but I'm not sure exactly who that is. And then the second side... just more of this kind of sound tone poems with John Anderson just singing on top of it.
Yeah, one more time.
Yeah, there's nothing that's extra.
Love Is.
Yeah.
/ One More Time.
There's nothing that's crazy rock and roll about this at all. It's all very mellow.
Some of it builds up. Yeah, what's the one tune where it's quiet and then there's the drums and the...
Is that Thunder?
Is it... Play Within a Play, that's probably the heaviest drums.
Yeah, well, there are drums and the music does build, but there's no like electric guitar and kind of band sign.
It's not rock.
It's very It's electronic and
it's progressive electronic music.
Yes. So this came out and it was kind of a hit for them, which was kind of an interesting thing because John was in the throes of leaving Yes, and
What's the inner sleeve look like? I saw pictures.
The inner sleeve has
the lyrics.
Has the lyrics and some
images
that John had painted, I guess.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, interesting. Huh.
Right? So we
got trying to give Roger Dean a run for his money, huh?
With his little watercolors.
Yes.
Yes. So
what happens? And then, so they make the album, and that's it?
So they make the album. There's no tour or anything. Right. I mean, they
What's
don't.
The date
John
is
not 79? Really. I believe it came out in 79 and then 80. 80.
Yeah.
But this, this is the American version.
Yeah, okay. So, I remember it. My brother had that album. That's the only reason why I remember it.
It was, but it came out as an import first. I remember one of my friends.
That would have been 79.
One of my friends from high school had, you know, his sister was into Yes, and he gave me a cassette of it before it came out in America. So that was the one single from this, and they were like, "Great, this is cool." So John Anderson goes on to leave Yes, do his Song of Seven, does Song of Seven
tour.
I mean, famously, because John was, this is going back a little bit, I'm rewinding.
It's all right.
Everyone is like, John's friends with Vangelis. He couldn't have done Elias of Sun Hill by himself. So there's rumors, which was 1976, right?
Yeah.
And they're kind of, they had just met sort of zone.
Yeah.
Everyone is like, oh, that's definitely Vangelis on that. But John has always said that Vangelis taught him a lot.
Right. And actually, I have read a bit about that. I forgot about that. But yes, but I thought the consensus was definitely that, you know what, if it was Vangelis, it would sound better. Like, no, I'm serious. That's where people, it would have been like Vangelis would have had to do something that he's not capable of doing. Like, he would have had to down.
Yeah, he would have had to
from
let go.
From a technical,
he would have
people
to
listen
let go.
To it. No, because people listen to it and hear the sounds. They're like, oh, that's Vangelis. But when you get into the technical aspect of the thing, you can tell John overdubbed like four or five times to make a chord. He's playing one note at a time, maybe two if he can handle that. But you can kind of hear that
in the
accumulation
music.
In the music. And yeah, it's like he said, Vangelis, there is no, I think this all gets vindicated later on in the Page of Life era, because there is no freaking way in any universe that he would have gotten away with putting that out without Vangelis never saying anything about it.
Oh no, Vangelis would have.
That's what I'm saying.
Potentially guested at uncredited on his album.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe it either.
I don't believe it because that's just
John
not
Anderson,
Vangelis's personality.
John Anderson for years has said, I locked myself in the garage, drove myself crazy to create that album where I play every note of it. And Vangelis might have been my mentor, but I'm the one who did it.
I agree, but it's also clear that, you know, like without Jamie Muir, you don't get Tails. Without Vangelis, you don't get Elias. Like that
was absolutely.
That was he inspired him to, like, he learned that, oh my God, you can actually make something with just the, you know, I think it clicked that, oh, I could actually make an album, because he was already.
He was doing his
guitar
and his incidental percussion.
Right, but then he's like, oh my God, he's overdubbing. I can actually play, I can do this.
Oh, he knew all about the overdubbing, but being able to do it himself.
It clicked. That's what I'm saying. It clicked where he was like, I can do an album myself.
I can do it. Yeah.
I can do it.
So, crazy.
Anyways.
So,
I can do Elias 1.
Elias 2, we're still waiting for the Son of Elias.
Your foam insert in your boxes.
So, time goes on. They have their one album, and Polydor over in Europe is like, we need a new album from you guys. It wasn't like a hit gigantic, but it was popular enough and it sold enough that we would like to do another. So they do a new album called The Friends of Mr. Cairo.
1981.
Again, one of those under the radar things in America that all of a sudden it shows up in the import bin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this? I didn't even know this was coming out. It just showed up at, you know, Carl Graff's records in Trumbull.
Graff Wadman.
So
old Connecticut record store chain.
So John Evangelis, The Friends of Mr. Cairo, comes out in 1981. So we have
two covers. What's up here?
So John Evangelis, the original album, comes out.
Who signed that?
John Anderson.
Whoa, show that to the crowd. We've got a John Anderson.
So my sister.
It's like, you know, people aren't going to zoom in. There it is.
So my sister.
What birthday was this?
Oh, I don't know. This was 1981.
So you were
We're not
16.
Telling you how old I was.
16, right?
16 or 17.
16 yeah. or 17.
So my sister was down in Philadelphia, and he was doing a record signing at the King of Prussia Mall for Animation, I believe it was.
Oh, okay.
And so she had the album, and she got it signed for me. I have some Polaroids somewhere.
Oh, wow. Well, that was very nice of her.
It was.
You were probably shocked.
Oh, I was so happy. I mean, this was in the heyday of my, like, right. Oh, my God.
You would have been happy enough with the album.
Well, I already had the album, of
okay,
course.
Forget so it. So like, jaded even at 16 or 17.
So the Friends of Mr. Cairo comes out. We can talk about this album as it sits, or I'll tell the history, and then we can go back over the
songs. Yeah, why don't you start with the
so
history.
This comes out, and it's not a hit for them, right? In various countries, it's a hit.
Well, I remember...
Canada, the Friends of Mr. Cairo was a big hit.
I remember hearing a truncated version of the title song on the radio at that time. Right. FM radio.
Yeah. It was played.
Right.
But it wasn't like this big blockbuster.
I know, but I heard... That was my... And I was like, I don't like that. I'm like, this is like...
Anyways. So they had a single, The Friends of Mr. Cairo.
Okay.
Which became a hit in Canada, apparently. Yeah. But didn't do anything in England.
No,
it got airplay in the States
totally
because
did.
Of all the yep. it was
because,
kind of
yes related.
It was.
That's what happens when you drink beer.
That's right. So it was kind of interesting at the time because of the beat and the way that Vangelis was playing the keyboards and all the voiceovers and stuff. This was like early 80s, so it was kind of like cool that they had all the... It was all about the movies.
Yep.
And so they did a video for it, but it didn't really fare well in the British charts. So famously, John Anderson tells the story, which again, I'll harken back to that
we'll put
that
a link
video.
To the video in right. the description.
And he said, you know, the record company's called. They want their money back. They want a hit single.
They come to them and are like, "You got to make another album." Now it doesn't do good. Now they want their money back.
Now you have to give us another song because it's not really doing well.
Right.
So this single came out and it was Friends of Mr. Cairo on one side and B-side on the B side. Ba-dum-bum.
Besides themselves.
So what they do is Vangelis calls John and says, "We got to do this." And he's
all the
like,
way around.
Well, I don't know.
Oh,
depending
okay.
on the story John's telling that day.
Oh, okay. So, I gotcha. Okay.
Somebody
got a call.
And John's like, "All right, I'll come over." And they
let's also reiterate, a lot of this stuff is because Chariots of Fire is in the 81 80,
right.
is in this era, so Vangelis is hot.
Vangelis is hot. He's starting to do. He did Chariots of Fire, came out right around the same time. He's suddenly become a household name. They're like, "We need a single, you know, we just had a number one with Chariots of Fire," or whatever, "we're about to." So they go into the studio, and I don't have the picture sleeve, but they did "I'll Find My Way Home."
Okay.
So
and this is from that era?
Yeah, this is the JV1. That's, you know.
I saw the B-side. I can't believe that. I just can't. But anyway.
So the B-side of "I'll Find My Way Home" is "Back to School," which is John's least favorite John Evangelos song from the album. Again,
tough.
nothing new, but they go into the studio, they record this. It becomes this huge hit for them over in Europe.
Yeah.
Right? So I remember I was actually in England when this was like number three on the charts, and I tried to find this, and this is all I found. All the picture sleeves were sold out already, so I got the plain standard, whatever.
Yes. No 45 adapter needed for the overseas.
Not for the overseas. No. So this becomes a big hit for them. They go on Top of the Pops, the whole thing. Vangelis is like, "I'm not going on Top of the Pops." John's like, "You gotta." He's like, "I'm not going." He's like, "They're going to pay us more. I'll go."
Yeah, see, I told you. Well, then maybe he paid him a lot not to have him on.
Anyway.
Elias.
So they re-released the album, The Friends of Mr. Carter, with a still from the video with I'll Find My Way Home on it. And they basically flipped the album. So what was side B of the regular album is now side A with I'll Find My Way Home starting it out.
Gotcha.
And side two is
Friends of Mr. Cairo starting.
One,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So this becomes a hit
which
for
is
them.
Better to do it that way. No, okay. No. Don't, no. I mean, come on. Friends of Mr. Cairo and then Back to School, back to back. It's too much for side one. So.
So this album is kind of a combination of the old short stories album approach.
Right.
And some more updated, faster songs. Now, that's not to say that they changed their way of working at all.
Right.
It's still the
just
same process.
Right.
Right. So we've got I'll Find My Way Home, which is a nice kind of mellow song, but with the Vangelis flourishes and John's voice building. We've got State of Independence.
Why wasn't that the single?
State of Independence?
I mean, I understand the Find Way Home. It's great we have that song. I'm talking about, like, why was it Friends of Mr. Cairo and not State of Independence?
John,
oh, they talk about this.
John
too?
On YouTube said, he said, we did that song, and I said, that should be a single. And the record company and Jim and Vangelis's manager were like, sure, John. Yeah. And then they put out The Friends of Mr. Cairo.
I'm in team John on that. I mean, that
so
makes
State
sense.
Of Independence again, this kind of thing. He said, I did probably 50% of that song. Is the original take of me just kind of singing shablamity shablamida or whatever, you know? And so they do that one. Beside is a very mellow kind of song.
Is that what he was doing? I thought it's like, I mean, he's making noises. I thought he was like saying, you know, because it could be like you wander in, you wander out, you wander in, you out. He's saying shabubi whatever.
He's saying shablamity shablamida.
Okay.
They have this song. They have this song.
Did you buy? You bought this one at the time when
I bought this at the time.
So you have two of the other one and this one. Is that what happened? Well, because you said you already had the album. Your sister got you.
Yeah. Well, I gave her my other one, and she gave me hers.
Okay, gotcha. And then this. How? What was the time between?
It wasn't that long. It was months. Probably.
Remember when you could walk into a room like something like that would happen?
Yeah. So, but it still has like on the record label.
That's cool.
So
that's
we've lost the lyrics, which the original one had. But the record label itself has the graphics of the original album.
Interesting.
You know, it's still the black and white John Evangelisi kind of thing from the previous.
Right.
So, Beside is a nice kind of piano-ish kind of electronic. Mellow thing. Then they have the song called The Mayflower, which is all kind of a combination of the story of the pilgrims and as if there was a spaceship called the Mayflower going out into space. And it's this amalgamation of that. And that's the voiceovers are all about that and John singing on top of that.
Not my favorite tune.
Right. The next is The Friends of Mr. Cairo, which is our movie song. Which has this beat to it and John singing in a very high-pitched voice on top of it with all of these Jimmy Cagney and Maltese Falcon kind of imagery.
Film noir.
Yes. And quips. which then slows down and does this very ethereal piano feeling thing and John singing about his love of the movies.
Yeah.
Right? Second half, absolutely different than the first half. But it's kind of interesting because it's like this gangstery kind of thing,
right?
Which then it turns into this homage to the old movies.
Yeah, which I prefer the second half. The first, it's just too much, and it's too much because John Anderson's. It doesn't make any sense, you know. I just can't picture John Anderson being.
But it's
tough.
The 80s.
I know, but it's like. I can picture him being like, I put on a leather jacket, I'll feel tougher.
I don't think he's singing it as if it was.
I know that.
Him.
I'm just
he's
saying.
He's telling
that
a story.
It's just, I get it. It is innovative. Nobody, you know, it is interesting. The album, it's just not my favorite album of theirs.
So then comes Back to School, which is his boogie. And it's my least favorite as well, John. So we don't even have to talk about it. Let's.
No, I will say one more thing. It's my least favorite. It's my least favorite John Evangelist song.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
So okay. Good. And
then
so we're in agreement.
Then Outside and Inside is awesome. Excellent. It harkens back.
The best song. One of the best songs on the album.
Yeah. It harkens back to the short stories feel. Yeah.
Totally.
Very
and could have been
simple.
From that time for all we know.
You know, one of the and this is a wrap up kind of version of this, but one of the things that I love about these albums by John Evangelis is how clean John's voice sounds on it and how upfront it is to the music, and it's awesome. I would have these albums in college, and I'd come home, and my roommates have like the headphones on, they're listening to, and they are not like John Evangelist kind of people, and they're like, that stuff is just awesome because it's so mellow and it just brings me into a good spot.
Yeah.
So that was that album.
It's good place to
let's just finish with that.
Okay.
In that State of Independence then gets covered by a million people, but most notably Donna Summers.
Yep.
And Mood Swings with Chrissy Hynde does it. There's a number of different things on the internet if you look up that people have done versions of State of Independence. So what happened was Quincy Jones does the album that
Michael Jackson
that Donna Summers is doing, and he gets in this choir to sing the background vocals, and he gets all these big name people because this is right around the time of We Are the World, et cetera, et cetera. So he gets them all together and they do this thing. And then Quincy Jones has, and you can look this up too, says, well, you know, then Michael starts to like this John Evangelist album, and he likes The Friends of Mr. Cairo. He likes the beat on that. And, you know, we kind of might have lifted that and slowed it down and turned it into Billie Jean. But, you know, that's the way Michael is. And John Anderson is like, awesome,
right? Yeah.
He's like, I don't need any royalties. Right. I just love the fact that Michael might have taken my song and turned it into something. So it becomes a big hit for Donna Summer too.
Oh.
And I'm not sure what the story is, whether the Donna Summer recording came first and then We Are the World came after, because Quincy got this idea that, oh my God, I got all these people in the room singing background for this State of Independence song. We should do this thing, or if it was the opposite.
I don't know if it was the opposite, but certainly it brought like when State of Independence got from Donna Summer, it was like, oh my God, it's a John Evangelist. No one knew, and then it kind of shined some light on the John Evangelist stuff for sure.
Because
it's not like State of Independence was
burning up the charts for them.
Well, not, but you know. Makes sense. It's interesting because you don't think so. If you get, you know, if you like us, right? You grew up in the 70s, you hated disco or whatever. But now in the background, it's like, well, without Donna Summer, you really don't have any electronic music in the popular era.
Giorgio Moroder.
I feel love. That's the song.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that then she comes back, like, you know, 8 years later or whatever it is, 6 or 8 years later, with yet another electronic thing that, because she, you know, it should be said that she kind of was her own person too. Like, if you read about her career, she was not just like, oh, she drove her career. She wrote music. She was into the concepts, and she did what she wanted to do. It wasn't like Quincy Jones or whoever else the producer was telling her what to do. So she wanted to do State of Independence. She wanted to do this electronic thing.
Yeah.
You know,
I have no idea.
Yeah. Oh,
Record Store Day had a State of Independence Donna Summer album, and it was like 7 versions.
Right, there's a lot of mix,
and I was like, should I buy this?
Well,
I will never listen.
You can listen; they're available streaming.
Okay.
So there is one of the. It might be whatever the deluxe edition is of the album that the song appeared of Donna Summer's, because she has deluxe versions of most of her albums, and then I think it's like, you know, on the bonus discs too.
Okay,
so.
There was also, I in a deep rabbit hole, there was a Spanish version of I'll Find My Way Home by some guy that I had heard about, and then I was listening to it last night, but I couldn't tell you the name of the person or what it's called because it's in Spanish.
That's a strong song.
But it's
song.
On it's on Spotify if you
cool.
try.
Yeah. All right.
So that's the first half of John Evangelis.
Yeah, why don't we, it seems like a good place to stop.
All right.
And we'll pick up the rest of their discography and history in the next episode of
Prague Will Find a Way.
If you wanted to.